a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary. As always, we are here on Wednesday nights, 7 to 9, and we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-9636. And, you know, it's that part of the show, Did You Hear?, where Derek and I quiz each other on all those other news stories that happened during the past couple days. We give each other one or two words and get to see who knows the story. I'm going to start, as always. Tommy Lahren.
Taking the music, man. She is the former The Blaze contributor, who is no longer a Blaze contributor after she went on The View and said she's pro-choice, yes. Which apparently is a good way to get fired by Glenn Beck.
If anybody has, I'm sure you've seen her on Facebook or any other social media, because she has become so popular. I mean, we're talking about a 24-year-old, incredibly conservative constitutionalist. She did go into the lion pit that is The View. God, I thought about how horrible it was going to be for her. But, you know, she talked about her beliefs in Trump and whatnot. And then they got to the real hot button issue, which was abortion. And she came out and said, you know, I am a conservative. I am a constitutionalist. But I can't be a hypocrite and say that I don't think that the government should control your body.
Well, she specifically said, I'm in favor of less government.
Yes.
And that means less government involvement with my guns and less government involvement with my body. I support you 100%. You are correct, ma'am.
Yes.
Well done. More people should think like you.
Which I think is hilarious, because you have The Blaze and so many of these extreme, not extreme right wing, but very conservative publications that knock down these snowflakes, which we do a little bit on the show, and saying how they need their safe space and you have to be careful about what you say, when in fact that's what they did. They didn't like what she said, that she had an opinion.
Well, they didn't like that she said she was pro-choice.
Yeah.
And it is the Glenn Beck show over there. So, you know, if you upset Glenn, you're going to be asked
whatever he wants.
She hasn't been fired. She's been suspended. Yeah. But on the other side, she's probably got herself, when's The View casting again? She's probably got a job lined up already. Maybe she could be part of the new NBC lineup featuring Megyn Kelly. you took my Tom Brady story. Upset. Sears.
Sears is, looks like they're going to be going out of business. It's Sears and Kmart. And they said, I believe the quote was, substantial doubt about its financial viability to survive. They're losing money, and they've been recorded as losing money continually loss after loss after loss.
There is a you're in the right wheelhouse on this. You get the point. There is a 5-word phrase that is considered the nuclear option. It is the equivalent of a professional athlete saying, "I am considering retirement." And that phrase is continue as a going concern. In particular, the phrase going concern. You put that in any sort of a statement to investors or to the market and you're dead. That's it. That's the end of the line. Mm-hmm. When you say we don't know if we can continue as a going concern, you're basically saying we're dead. Thank you, Sears. Been 131 great years. I'm really sorry to even consider the idea that they're going to be gone because Sears has been such a huge part of the American landscape for our entire lives. And granted, it's sort of dwindled in prominence in maybe the last 5 to 10 years. But if you're old enough, if you grew up in, you know, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Every home good, every appliance, everything from Sears.
Everything came from Sears. Mm-hmm. Everybody went to Sears. Sears was, as a retailer, the original Amazon. Because the Sears catalog, back in the days before electricity and shopping malls, was how people got stuff. And you could get anything from your shaving blades to a house sent to you by Sears. You could buy your house through the Sears catalog. Look about Sears homes. They're actually worth a lot of money if you
happen to
live in one.
Well, looking on the Brady Bunch, they would put on their Sunday best to go to Sears.
Sears was everything. And you and I grew up in that era where it was, you know, you went to the mall and you went in through Sears or you went into Sears, one of the two, because Sears always had something that you need.
I feel like the Sears of the Burlington Mall has become somewhat relevant again because now that Primark is right above
it. Well, they're renting the space
to them. Everybody is, yeah.
Yeah, Sears is actually renting that space to Primark. But that's a sign of what's happened. Mm-hmm. Sears, when the shopping mall craze began in the 1950s.
That was your major anchor store.
Sears, as soon as a mall was going up, would become an anchor store. And that was a big part of their growth from the 1950s into the 1980s, is every shopping mall, if there wasn't a Sears at the mall next door, had a Sears in it. Mm-hmm. And other retailers like JCPenney and Woolworths were very, very slow to adapt that model. And as a result, Sears stole all their market share. JCPenney's got its own problems too. Now the mall is in decline. There are still surviving malls, but there are fewer of them. Sears still has the benefit of the 100-year leases that it signed, which means it pays pennies on the dollar for its square footage. So it can rent stuff, it can rent space to Primark at Burlington and probably make more money off of that rental than it's making off of sales down on the first floor.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question is, because I used to get my like oil change and basic mechanical functions at Sears. And I mean, that was always a huge draw. You could get your car fixed and go into the mall and go shopping.
Yeah.
Every time I would call, I'm talking about, you know, forget get an appointment. They're booked out a week in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that aspect of the company is going to be bought out by somebody else, or they're still going to maintain the name just as a... What happens in that situation?
It's a good question. They're probably going to sell off the rest of any brands that they have left that have value. Die Hard would be one of those brands. They've already sold Craftsman. The auto centers might be taken over by a Jiffy Lube, might be taken over by a Pep Boys or somebody who's, you know, looking to either establish or expand a nationwide auto service chain because it's there for the taking. Mm-hmm. And has a good reputation, has all the employees, has all the equipment. It's a turnkey. You can just go buy the thing. But Sears, as we know it, I think is coming to an end and taking the shambling corpse of Kmart along with it.
Yeah. Walking into Sears, it replicates what the experience is walking into Kmart. You don't know if it's actually open.
Yeah.
There's like one flashing light above you. It looks like a hurricane just blew through. There's like babies crying. It's like a sad
thing. Kmart's horrifying.
Yeah. Roger Goodell.
He's the commissioner of the NFL.
He is. Story came out today.
I missed that one. I have no idea what's going on with Roger. I've been following terrorism all day. So. Right.
Roger Goodell announced the new league rules that they're trying to push through. He said, quote, "It drives me crazy. We call those double ups." And they actually occur 20% of the time. So he's talking about the disruptions in the games, the long pause breaks. So in the coming days, the league will roll out its plans for revamping the commercial structures. So not only the game rules, but commercial structures as well. And he announced that tweaking in-game timing, replay reviews, and this is a product of experiments and research from the NFL on what people want.
This is a product of the 12% rating slide last season, more than anything else.
There you go.
And those of you who were paying attention at the end of last season, at least on Fox and NBC on the Sunday night games, when they got into those timeouts at the end of the game, to a 30-second timeout on the field, it wasn't a full commercial break. They ran one 30-second commercial, and then they got back to the game. Mm-hmm. And it was very clear that they were trying to move things along a little bit faster, because it used to be that 30-second timeout
became 2.5 minutes.
4 minutes. And mm-hmm. let me tell you something. When it's January and you're freezing your keister off down at Gillette Field, you don't want to be sitting there for 5 minutes so they can get another freaking Geico ad on the air. So it's better for the fans in the stadium. It's better for the fans at home. It's probably better overall. You want to run a lot of commercial breaks? Run them during the freaking replays.
But you hit exactly the point that I thought. Ratings.
Laptops.
Laptops are part of this new ban. The United States is in it, and the European Union. So yesterday this was announced. 10 different countries are a part of it. Traveling either
Ten cities.
That you're traveling to in the Middle East and Africa, you can't bring something, an electronic, bigger than a cell phone.
Yeah. Interesting piece in the Jeffrey Bezos-owned Washington Post today. And I have to mention that it is a Jeffrey Bezos mouthpiece because it is a Jeffrey Bezos mouthpiece. But credit where credit is due. The suggestion has been made that this ban may have been instituted as part of a trade war that is taking place in the airline industry. Because Qatar, Egypt, and some other countries subsidize their airlines, they are able to operate at lower costs than international carriers. And banning electronics from business class, also known as first class, in countries where everybody flies first class, may be a direct shot at these subsidies mm-hmm. and getting these countries to play nice.
I mean, interesting
theory.
I was going to say that's an interesting angle, because essentially what is coming out is saying that officials have intel that terrorists have been trying to hide explosives in these larger electronics. So whether we're talking about iPads or...
Yeah, this is the other side of it, is mm-hmm. that there's a Syrian bomb maker that knows how to make laptop bombs.
And of course, and supporters are saying, you know, do what you got to do to keep it safe. But critics want to know why it's safer to check a laptop than to, like, bring it into the cabin. You're supposed to. Like, why can't you check it there at the airport if it's...
Because the airports in question don't have CT scanners. They don't have the ability to look inside the laptop to scan it and say, oh, wait, there's a big chunk of C4 over there.
Because essentially all you have to do is just take it out of the bag and they scan it in the basic scanners.
Yeah.
And it gets through and passes.
Yeah. In theory, if it's in the hull of the plane, you could just throw some altitude switches on it and blow it up that way. So if you're going to blow up the plane, you're going to blow up the plane. But at least you won't be blowing it up in the cockpit or blowing it up in the passenger cabin. Some planes can actually survive those explosions now, and some of the cargo containers that they use have been reinforced and redesigned to contain those kinds of explosions.
Yeah, I would rather not have that.
You'd rather not be on a plane where things are exploding at all, is what happens. But it's not necessarily fatal to the aircraft in the same way that an explosion in the passenger cabin is fatal to the aircraft. Mm-hmm. If that story had appeared anywhere other than the Washington Post official mouthpiece for Jeffrey Bezos of Amazon.com, I would give it more credibility.
Costco.
Costco is suing Titleist because Titleist sent Costco a cease and desist over their Kirkland golf balls, which they say infringe patents and claims and everything else. Costco made these golf balls last year, and apparently they're the best golf balls that you can buy, and you can get a dozen of them for $15, which is a heck of a lot less than you're paying for your Titleist.
Mm-hmm. There was actually two stories. So that being one of them, so I have to give you a point for that. But Costco also announced today that it's going to have home delivery service. So you can get all your bulk delivered to you now.
Are they going to have somebody there to scan your credit? Are they going to like scan your credit card when they show up at your house?
I don't know.
Because that's like, don't they need your membership card?
Right, yeah. I'm sure you just punch it in when you order it.
Yeah. Which means everybody can order from Costco now. No membership required. I might know people who do that. Thimble.
Aren't they taking it away on the Monopoly? Or no. They announced they were. They're going to bring it back.
Thimble.
Yeah, they were trying to get rid of it on the Monopoly game. What?
That's worth maybe an eighth of a point.
All right, what's the story?
A 17th of a point. It's gone. There was no more thimble. Mm-hmm. Because you're all monsters.
Yeah.
The thimble is gone. So that we can have a penguin, a rubber ducky, and a T-Rex. Those were the winners in the fan voting for the new Monopoly pieces. The penguin, I like penguins. I'm good with that. Rubber ducky, okay. Yeah, kind of makes sense. A freaking T-Rex.
Is it, does it look...
Yeah, it looks like a freaking T-Rex.
Authentic, or is it like one of those cartoony...
No.
Like the big orange one on Route 1.
No, it looks like a T-Rex. It looks like a Jurassic Park T-Rex. Okay. So that is going to be...
I almost would have liked a cartoony Barney-esque.
Yeah, no, it's a T-Rex because we got to have dinosaurs with everything now. At least it's not a vampire. I suppose we could be happy about that.
That was in the running?
No, but the poo emoji was, and that lost.
No.
So there is a silver lining to all of this. Wheelbarrow and shoe are out in Monopoly. No more wheelbarrow, no more shoe.
Really?
Yeah. And shoe, I think, was one of the originals.
What would you always choose?
I'm the race car all the way. But the one interesting thing in fan voting that proves that we're not all monsters is the Scotty dog got the most votes. So everybody loves the Scotty dog.
Mm-hmm. Can't get rid of that.
I got to have the race car. Freaking T-Rex.
Julia.
Child, Louis Dreyfus.
Nope.
Roberts. Styles.
No.
We can talk about Julia Styles. Let's talk about Julia Styles for a while. Is she married?
Just Julia.
I need something more than that. That's too vague.
Not a real person.
That's the name of Samsung's Siri Cortana. No?
No, that's Alexa.
No. That's Amazon's.
But that's not Julia.
I have no idea.
That is the name of the newest character on Sesame Street.
Oh, the little autistic Muppet.
Yes. So this is the newest resident of Sesame Street, has orange hair and a fondness for a toy rabbit. But a lot of people are saying how this are huge strides because, yes, she has autism. So this was a character that was in their storybooks and now is on the television show.
That's a weak clue.
It's the name of the character.
That's way too vague.
That is so something.
That's way too vague.
You would say, are you kidding? The thimble? But I get a 17th of a point?
Yeah, because...
You are insane. You do the exact same thing that I do, but you get angry when I do it.
You could have said Muppet. No. You could have said Muppet, Sesame Street, Children's Television Workshop, HBO, any
Julia
of those things.
Julia is the name of the character.
And I would have got it immediately.
So it's okay for you to say a name of a restaurant that's in Europe that I'm supposed
all right.
to know.
All right, like, here's my next clue. Chuck.
Chuck.
Who's in the news today?
Chuck. Died. Chuck Barris died, who was the creator of The Gong Show.
Correct.
And The Newlyweds.
Mm. And The Dating Game.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can do it with
you ever
one
get a chance to see The Gong Show? I don't know how it holds up these days, but if you grew up in the 70s and you like comedy, you like The Gong Show because whatever was going on there wasn't what it appeared to be. On the surface, it looked like a talent competition, but in reality, it was actually some very clever sketch comedy being done by a lot of very talented people, masquerading as a game show. Home of the Unknown Comic, absolutely worth checking out. Norway.
You just gave me one.
Oh, did I? Oh, that's right. I gave you Chuck.
Coffee Culotta.
Coffee Culotta. That's a Dunkin' Donuts product.
It is.
And what did I see they were doing with that? Yeah, I saw the headline, didn't read it.
No more. There is no more Coffee Culotta.
Where's the culotta going?
Dunkin' Donuts is discontinuing it. I know.
Bastards.
Awful. Dunkin' Donuts, the Coffee Culotta, will be discounted for the next few months and replaced with Dunkin's revamped frozen coffee. So if you've noticed in the grocery store,
was awful.
They have all these new products. They're trying to introduce them. Basically, it's a frozen version of that. And they say it tastes a little more like coffee than the previous product, which I think was the greatest thing for most people that weren't a fan of coffee. They liked the Coffee Culotta because it kind of was chocolatey and mochy and, yeah.
Yeah, but that other thing is like slush.
The Coffee Culotta? Or the frozen coffee.
The frozen coffee.
I wasn't a fan.
It's like slush. It's bad. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, so no more.
Well, they'll be bringing back the Culotta in another couple of years. Just wait it out, kids. Norway. We're back to...
That was the happiest country.
Where?
Where what?
Where is it the happiest country?
Oh, it was named the happiest country.
It's the happiest country in the world. That's according to the World Happiness Report. That comes out every year. That is published by the World Happiness Corporation, bringing you happiness since 1942. Norway actually moved to the top of the rankings as the happiest country in the world, a title previously held by Denmark, which is very sad. Right now, because Norway and Denmark is just going to drop down this list like a rock. Mm-hmm. But Denmark was number 2. Iceland is number 3. Switzerland is number 4. Finland is number 5. The thing about these 5 countries is my understanding is they all have very high suicide rates, except for Switzerland. Because it is cold there all the time.
But they also have a lot of money.
The Netherlands was number 6. Canada, close by, 7th happiest country in the world, also cold there. And then tying for 9th place, New Zealand, Australia, and Sweden.
Hmm.
I believe the reason New Zealand and Australia tied is because nobody can tell them apart, other than Kiwis and Australians.
True.
We came in 14th place, down 1 from last year.
Not too bad. And that's it.
That's
And I beat you this week.
Because you... Dave, that's going to be one of your clues next week. Dave. What's your clue, Dave?
I got Chuck. It's all right, Derek.
There were actually 2 Chuck stories that you could have got. So I should only give you a half point for not getting both of them.
Chuck Berry.
Thank you. It's not like we didn't hear enough of that.
Who the show before us, Time Travel with Chris Earle.
Yes.
Play it all night.
It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture with you until 9 o'clock. And then On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Story came out today that says people trust news they get from their friends on Facebook. Make us your friend, and you can always trust the news that you get from us. When we come back, the MBTA, thinking about cutting weekend service, then it's not thinking about cutting weekend service. Thinking about leaving the disabled stuck at home, then they're thinking maybe we won't leave the disabled stuck at home. Why the heck can't the MBTA just make some freaking money here on WMFO Medford?
When I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. much more grown up. I fear that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on a wing, I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. They say it's spring, those bells that I can hear ringing. It may be spring, but when the robin starts singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you. If poets sing that when a heart's sympathetic, it's merely spring, then poets' plights are pathetic, though I'm poetic too. They say it's spring, for lovers there's where the lure is, that evil thing, for which September the cure is. This they are sure is true, though I know so that my fancy may turn in the spring with the right one in sight. One can find a perpetual thing. Did I need spring to bring the ring that you bought me? Though it was spring, that wondrous day that you caught me, darling, I thought we knew that it wasn't spring, 'twas you.
Soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs, because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar.
One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends.
I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
It happened so quickly, the cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
All aboard!
I.
is The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols. Here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. Can you guess what we're talking about? The Crazy Train? Is that what we're actually going to change the name of the MBTA to?
They should do that.
Right?
It'd be better.
It is the last thing you need to do to avoid scandal. Well, MBTA has some more problems. And we're not talking about the snow that just fell.
I'm coming off the rails on a crazy train.
I really wish we had a video in here sometimes.
Coming off the rails on a crazy train.
Nobody wants to see you do that or hear you sing.
Sorry, I hear the music. I think I'm a freaking Gillette, and it's like there's going to be football.
Yeah.
It's all right.
No more football.
Are we talking about the train?
Yeah.
That thing's a mess. Forget about that.
Well, the MBTA is possible suspension of weekend. So, you know, when you don't want to drive into town because parking is awful, so you take the train, might not be happening.
Fake news. That whole thing is such fake news.
Yep. The MBTA's possible suspension of weekend commuter rail service for a year and curtailed trips via its shuttle, The Ride, are extreme measures aimed quickly at saving something I heard around $17 million. While the agency has once again failed to do its research to even determine the littlest amount of facts to see the impact of these cuts.
Yeah, but so have the people covering this story, because here's where the fake news angle comes in on this thing. Everybody hears the MBTA is gonna get rid of weekend service. The MBTA is gonna get rid of weekend service. And that's the only thing anybody's talking about. It's like, how did the MBTA get rid of weekend service? They were going to suspend weekend service for 1 year so that they could upgrade the tracks. Mm-hmm. Because they have to upgrade the tracks anyway, okay? So rather than run buses through all of these towns while they upgrade the tracks, which is what they're going to have to do now, either way, you're not taking a train to Boston, kids. Rather than run buses, they were just going to shut it off for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to save them about $10 million, okay? It's a drop in the bucket. We're talking about a $40 million deficit.
Yeah, no, but of course the MBTA has long been under the gun to cut expenses while trying to make these capital upgrades to its train stations and rails, and has failed miserably at doing it and understanding the impact that the rails do have, essentially here in Boston. A leaf falls on the track and we need to shut it down for the day, or it's running an hour and 45 minutes late because it's raining.
Slippery rail.
Yeah.
Don't forget the slippery rail.
It's crazy. Yeah.
They can't operate the trains with a slippery rail. Yeah.
From the leaves.
Why can't, let's go through this, because the MBTA is a continual problem. Unlike, And when you live in Boston, you just assume that it's like this everywhere, that every public transit system is a complete disaster area. No, they're not, actually. There are some that run well. Utah runs well. Chicago runs well. Big city, Chicago. Their public transit system actually runs well.
Considering the traffic in New York, it runs pretty well also.
New York, given what they have to do and what they're working with, that it runs at all is a miracle. But it actually runs okay. Seattle runs great. You can run a successful public transit service. Massachusetts, apparently you can't, because we don't maintain anything, because we kept putting off the maintenance and now the whole system is falling apart. And in 2015, summer 2015, the MBTA estimated that it would require $7.3 billion. $7.3 billion. Folks, the big dig cost $2 billion. And it only should have cost one, okay? We stole $1 billion, it cost more than $2 billion. $7.3 billion to get the MBTA working properly. $765 million a year for the next 25 years. 25 years.
Yeah, and you thought the big dig was bad?
It is going to take them to fix the T. Now, that's doing it a piece at a time. It's not everything at once. There's no way they could ever afford to do everything at once.
We're also talking about a system that is in so much debt already. Look at what happened just in this area. Look how many neighborhoods and even here where we are, the school changed its buildings to accommodate the new tracks that were coming in and the new stations that were coming in. And then all of a sudden the MBTA said, oh, sorry, kids, you know what? We're actually not going to get it.
Because they need $7.3 billion in repairs. You don't get new toys when all your old toys are broken.
Well, then you shouldn't be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on markups and plans when you know it is impossible.
Well, first you have the study. That's commissioned by the consultants.
And how much do those?
That costs a few million dollars. Mm-hmm. Then you have the public hearings, costs another couple of million dollars. Then you Then you draw up the plans.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is a complete disaster area. Now, the plan was that they were going to shut down weekend service for a year, suspend it for a year, which is not a workable solution because there are people who depend on the trains to get to work on the weekends.
Because people do work the weekends.
And commuters are already, and one of the big sources of pushback in this was commuters who don't use their passes on the weekend anyway, mm-hmm. like maybe once or twice a year. But as soon as they think something's being taken away, they all come out and they all start screaming. And they're like, well, you make us pay all this money for these tickets and we're mm-hmm. losing value. And we want to, as soon as the commuters said, we want you to drop the ticket prices, this idea went out the window.
Well, no.
Because there's no way that government never lowers the price on anything.
You talking about the big dig, though, the T really faces a threefold problem. You have to have it balance its budget.
Patronage. Are those the three folds of the problem?
But it has to balance the budget every year, which it's not doing. It has to understand its debt that it still has from the big dig. And it also has to upgrade the system, which Charlie Baker has laid out that demanded back in 2015.
Here's some sobering math that came out from the MBTA during this whole trial balloon of cutting weekend service. It costs $5 to subsidize trips on weekdays. That's a problem because when you're running 100,000 trips a day, that means you're subsidizing $500,000 a day. I don't know why we're subsidizing public transportation $500,000 a day. That does not seem like a reasonable number. Might explain the big multi-million dollar deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Weekends, they subsidize $30 a ride. What? I don't doubt these numbers are real. So what are you doing on the weekends? Why are you running? And they're only running trains every 2 hours, but if you see them on the weekends, they all got 8 cars on them.
Mm-hmm.
7 of those cars aren't being used. Now, I know with trains, it doesn't cost a lot more money to run extra cars, but in terms of wear and tear on the equipment, yeah, it probably does. Maybe you ought to decouple a few of those things. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could save some money that way. But the interesting, Governor Baker was originally in favor of this idea, which would have suspended weekend service for a year, save $10 million. And then they would have eliminated the premium area of the ride. And the ride is a service that the MBTA runs. You call up, they send a van over, they get you to a train station or a subway mm-hmm. station, whatever, and you're on your way. People pay to use the ride. It's not free. They would have saved $7 million by getting rid of the premium area, which is more than 3/4 of a mile from an MBTA station. That would have eliminated entire communities in the MBTA area. Topsfield was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Topsfield was one of them.
Newburyport
was one of them. Yeah. So if you're more than 3/4 of a mile from a train station, no more ride.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take it out on the disabled. Again, as I said with Kurt Attoni and the money coming from the feds for the sanctuary cities, your elected leaders make these decisions. All right? This is Governor Baker saying, hey, screw the poor who use the train on the weekends to get to work and screw the disabled people. Let's go save $17 million. You know what else he could have done? And this is my favorite one of this whole thing. If they privatize bus maintenance, they'll save $40 million. $40 million if you privatize the bus maintenance. Okay?
Now the bus maintenance is coming from internal.
You know what the whole budget gap is? $42 million.
There you go.
But he's going to have to get past the Carmen's Union.
Of course.
If he wants to privatize the bus maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carmen's Union is going to fight like a bunch of dogs to keep those jobs. So here's the reason the MBTA can't make money. Here's the reason they can't balance the budget. Is because Governor Baker and the people over the State House are scared to death of the Carmen's Union. They probably should be.
Are you shocked, though?
It's Massachusetts.
Now, you talked about how the cutbacks on these premium
trips. We got May Amati in the corner opposite City Hall.
Premium trips would save $7 million, but suspending weekend rail service for 1 year, which is being proposed, would yield an estimated $10 million. But not only that, now you have people that have bought the tickets that want a reduction in rates. So now you're losing money on top of what you think that you're gaining.
Well, they're not getting a reduction in rates because of service. But those people are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're paying $400 a month to commute to Boston and you're only using your Charlie card Monday through Friday, that's on you. Okay, you're not using the service now anyway. You have a car. You're from Newton. You just don't want to drive to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're from Sharon. Or you're from some other wealthy. You're from Winchester. You know, and it's like, well, I might want to use it to go to the city. No. No, you're not going to do that. Because if you're going to the city on a Saturday or Sunday, you're going to drive. You're not taking the train.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get all butt hurt and walking around bent out of shape.
You're going to stand up for yourself.
You're taking away a service that I pay for and by default raising the price of my commute. Get over at Winchester. You can afford it.
But you do have to take into consideration. I mean, if the MBTA does eliminate weekend service, it would make Boston the largest city in this country that doesn't have a system that runs on a Saturday and Sunday. It's almost archaic.
If you're going to Boston on a Saturday or Sunday, you're driving. You just are.
But again, not everybody drives.
I get.
And as you pointed out, disabled and poor, you can't.
Right.
Because I do. And being in the industry, and I'm not making any exceptions for, you know, what about the service people? But I do know a lot of people in different job markets that take public transportation on the weekend.
Here's the thing. It hurts working families if you do that. Okay. You know what else hurts working families? Privatizing the bus maintenance. But which working families get hurt? I'm going to teach you to think like a politician right now, okay? If I privatize the bus maintenance, I'm going to hurt the working families of union members who are organized, who vote, who campaign aggressively whenever their jobs are threatened. If I get rid of weekend service and limit the radius of the ride, I hurt the poor and the disabled who aren't mobilized, who may or may not vote, who don't really understand how to put up a fight if I take something away from them. So the political calculus becomes pretty easy. Am I going to do the hard thing and solve the problem in one fell swoop? Get rid of $40 million of this $42 million deficit by kicking the union out of the bus shop? Or am I going to make the poor and the crippled suffer?
Here in the Commonwealth? What happens?
What's politically expedient? Yeah, buy poor, buy mm-hmm. crippled.
Especially here in the Commonwealth, especially here in Boston, this is what happens. So unions run everything. The amount of pressure that they put on politicians, the amount of power that they have in so many different aspects of our infrastructure, MBTA being one of them. I mean, we have a system here in the city where it gives you $1 for, or what is it, $3.65 for every dollar you put in the pension.
Yeah.
Again, you question where all the money is going. You question why we need to find this money. We can do it by hurting the poor, hurting the disabled. Oh, that's because
we don't
pensions are out of control. Can't touch them, though.
I don't want the union fight.
Everybody's grandfathered in. Can't touch them.
Union's got money. Union's got organization. Union's got press contacts.
You want money for your campaign?
You
need the unions.
This idea about privatizing the bus maintenance goes into effect. You're going to start hearing the union ads all over the radio again, talking about how great the Carmen's Union is and all the wonderful things that they do for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and all the wonderful things they do for the MBTA. And that will be run alongside smear campaigns against Charlie Baker, calling him a union buster and evil and a Trump supporter and anything else that they
But it's been proven. How many times have we talked on the show about the MBTA? And it is on record that many of these maintenance workers just leave early. Oh, it's 3 o'clock. Nobody's working.
I've heard stories about the bus shop that would curl your hair. Okay.
Everything's done. From, oh, is it at noon?
Yeah.
Everybody's at the bars in Charlestown.
There's a reason. And look, I'm not going to pick on anybody that's over there doing their work. Okay. I'm not going to pick on anybody who's over there doing their job because that's not fair. But there's a reason why all the bars around Sullivan Station are full at 2:30 in the afternoon on a weekday.
Done with work. It's good.
Well, not done with work, but...
taking a very long break.
Yeah. 855-915-9636. Take on the unions. You solve the problem, Governor Baker. What we need is somebody who goes into the governor's office who is perfectly comfortable being a one-term governor. This isn't going to go in here. I'm going to clean this up. We're going to fix this. I don't care what the political fallout is. Gets the job done and moves on. Governor Baker is not that person. Because they get in there and they want to stick around forever. And if you want to stick around forever, you can't go after the unions. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on The Tell Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Outside of the yellow. Punched a wall in the nighttime, yes. I climbed to the window and down to the street. I'm shining like a new dime. The downtown trends are full for all those Brooklyn girls that try so hard to break out of their little worlds. Now you wave your hand and the scattered light. Have nothing that will ever capture your heart. They're just thorns without the rose. Be careful of them in the dark. Oh, if I was the one you chose to be your only one. Oh yeah, can't you hear me now? Can't you hear me now? I see you. In your doorway, I'll walk down your street and past your keys. I'll stand by the light of the four-way. You watch a massive fall. Oh, baby, they all have heart attacks. They stay at the carnival, but they'll never win you back. I'll see you tonight. Run down to every night is just the same. Oh, baby, will I see you tonight?
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know, I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and we are The Big Picture. Time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. Get excited. New emojis are coming. they're coming in June 2017. But Unicode, it's a consortium that's responsible for choosing the new emojis that are available on your iDevices and your Androids. If you go to Business Insider and type in new emojis, they'll give you there what they think they're going to look like, because Unicode doesn't come out with the picture of them. They only tell you what they're going to be. So it's really fun to look at what they could possibly look like. Some of the new ones, brain, canned food, bowl with a spoon, gloves, socks, chopsticks, cup with a straw, sandwich. I was actually thinking I needed that one today. See, this is all good for me because I do food blogging. Sled, scarf, cut of meat, broccoli, flying saucer, Dracula, a fairy, a merman, mermaid, cricket, zebra, dumpling. Another good one. Pretzel, breastfeeding. For some reason. Yeah. Fortune cookie, pie, hedgehog, and finally a bearded man. It's that whole lumber sexual thing. Yeah. So June 2017, you will get 69 new emojis.
I weep for the future of humanity. I really do. I mean, come on. Really?
I get excited. You have Android. Yours don't, you don't have
emojis are so yesterday.
No, they're not.
They are. They are so yesterday.
With most of my friends, we just speak emojis.
Just wait until Donald Trump starts tweeting emojis, and then you'll know how over it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Good news for you Pokemon players out there. Because,
oh, I heard this.
Oh, we got fun going on. For the next week, okay, for the next 7 days, there is going to be an increase in water types. Wherever you are, you're going to find more water types around, including the very elusive Lapras, which, as some of you may know, was the last Gen 1 that I actually got my hands on. They're hard. Now, it's not like you're going to find Lapras everywhere, but you are going to find a lot of water types everywhere. That includes Omanyte. That includes all the new Gen 2 water types that you can get. Plus, there are reports on the internet that have been verified that there are shiny Magikarp out there. So you got a reason to go out there, get yourself some new Pokemon, get yourself some water types, especially if you're inland. If you're on the coast, it's not a big deal because we get these things all the time. But if you're inland and you never see water types, you're going to see tons of water types, and you just might see a Lapras. Check out the places where the rares are known to spawn, like around the New England Aquarium, like around Winthrop, like around Brighton. You know where the rares are, kids, around Belmont Town Hall. Check those spots out. You might find yourself some Lapras, but you're definitely going to find water types everywhere you go. This goes until next Wednesday at 4 o'clock Eastern time, so don't miss out. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a little difficult to go hunting, but you get a great opportunity to go out and get some exciting new Pokemon that you may not already have.
We end the show every week with that's a thing that happened, the craziest thing from this week's news. Florida. Actually from Ohio, but always these things happen in Florida. An Ohio woman vacationing with her husband in Florida was arrested after she bit him while they were having sex in a Key West hotel, police report. Jennifer Hickman, a 42-year-old dental hygienist, was arrested Sunday at the Oceanfront Southernmost Beach Resort on misdemeanor battery charges. According to their arrest report, a hotel employee summoned police following a disturbance in one of the hotel's rooms. When the worker called the room, quote, a male answered the phone crying, end quote. During police questioning, Hinkman's husband, Eric, an orthodontist, said that the couple was drinking alcoholic beverages while sitting near the pool when they decided to go to the room and have sex. When the couple was having sex, Eric said his wife, quote, placed her mouth on his left forearm, bit him using her teeth. The biting, cops noted, had been preceded earlier by Jennifer yelling at her spouse and accusing him of using her. Hickman, who appeared intoxicated and subsequently arrested for battery while in the rear of the patrol car, she repeatedly saying, quote, I am going to, not appropriate for radio, kill him, and continued yelling and screaming the entire ride to jail.
Wow. What were they drinking?
Yeah.
Because I don't want any.
Cocktails by the pool.
Cocktails by the pool, yeah. I know what's in those cocktails. Don't order that. Oregon. Tyler Hagwood must have been thinking he had just made his own Uber. The 33-year-old hopped on board an unattended street sweeper in a parking lot after its operator got out to use a handheld blower. The owner of the street sweeper called police, who pursued the street sweeper for 10 miles at speeds of up to 65 miles an hour. The chase ended after Hagwood hit spike strips and he was arrested without incident. Shockingly, Hagwood was not charged with driving under the influence, but he was hit with a parole violation for an aggravated harassment conviction.
I don't know about these people.
Not drunk, stealing the street sweeper. I don't know. I learned something today because I had no idea that you could go 65 miles an hour in a street sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently you can. I also didn't know you could take out a street sweeper with spike strips, but apparently you can. I don't know if they get bound up inside the street sweeper and it just...
You really learn a lot on this show.
Yeah. This is a different one. Usually when you get one of these stories... whoever is behind the wheel is either high out of their mind or drunk out of their mind. So the fact that there were no DUI charges at all tells me that this is just a guy who makes bad decisions.
Yeah. Not good.
So that's pretty much what we got for this week. when are you not here?
I will be here next week. I will not be here in 2 weeks.
So in 2 weeks, you're not going to be here. Would you believe me if I told you that I haven't been able to find anybody to cover for you? Like, I suppose PJ is an option.
Yeah.
If I get, maybe we'll get PJ Weston in here
Mariel,
in 2 weeks. Mariel's busy that night and I haven't asked anybody else, so it's not like a, you know.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not, yeah,
so your options aren't that bad.
Maybe we'll have Joel come in. I don't know. I'll see what my options are and see if we can get somebody to co-host that week.
He came on the show when I did the post election without you.
And yeah, and he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, and he's going to be coming up next with everybody from On the Talent, Mikey D. It is spring. So, you know, get out there and enjoy this weekend.
8 degrees.
Amid the ice and snow. It may be warm again someday. We don't know when. But you got the Pokemon event going on, so you got a reason to go outside. You just don't have anywhere to go where it's not cold. And I got to say, it's tough to get into the spring mood with these winters still all over the place.
Mm-hmm. But you have to thank God, at least it's not like 2 years ago when we had snow in July. We just need one warm day. They are going down a little bit.
I'll take snow in July because that's different. You know, we need more than one day. The wind turds are holding on.
Mm-hmm.
Every place, every street, every sidewalk has wind turds on it right now. Every parking lot is full of wind turds. We're going to be stuck with them until May, I'm telling you. That is all the time we got on the Tell Mikey D coming up right now. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.